another new episode of Going Where No Man Has Gone Before, Into the Journeys of the Mind. And I just sent out a message concerning this message to all of you, but I decided I wanted to do a video message on the mysteries of the true sons of God. Purposely, I was at a recent convention with some people who were talking about the present reality concerning disclosure. I went to this conference to find out what kind of information people who operate in the carnal mind are perpetrating on the public, and to hear what they were saying in regards to the subject of disclosure. One of the things that was discussed at this conference was the sons of God, and I found it so disturbing that someone could so distort such a subject from their lack of knowledge, total lack of knowledge in the Word of God, that I was led to do this message. So, having said that, what I wanted to say to you is, first of all, the Word of God tells us clearly to study, to show ourselves approved of God in 2 Timothy 2:15. It says, study to show thyself approved of God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And approved means to show, expose to the eyes, give evidence or proof of a thing, to show by words or teach. The word truth means to be hidden from one secretly, unawares, without knowing. The truth is hidden. That is why we must study. God is not revealing his mysteries to just anyone. So the first foundational principle, which would have really helped this person who was speaking about this information of the sons of God, which would have helped him understand clearly, is what we're about to discuss. The word God almost never means the real God. Now just think about that for a moment on how you read the Word of God. Because almost always the word God means angels, and it even means false God. It means God-like, mighty one, mighty men, mighty heroes, angels, God, false God, demons, imaginations, and that's what the word God means most of the time. Okay? You cannot find out anything concerning truth until you grasp that words have meanings in the Hebrew and the Greek, and that they are hidden unless you study. So if you don't study, all you're going to get is a carnal mind vision, meaning that the Holy Spirit didn't reveal anything that was said to this person. He made it up and leaning to his own understanding, assuming he knew what the word God meant, and he therefore interpreted it in his limited capacity of understanding. So the word tells us in John 16:13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Well, only the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, can reveal truth. As you read the word, then he comes alongside and opens your understanding to the hidden truths of the mysteries that are hidden in Christ. Therefore, the next principle is the word Lord is usually talking about the one true God. The word Lord in the concordance, Greek Strong's 3068, means Jehovah, the existing one, the proper name of the one true God. And it's also an unpronounced vowel for the Hebrews. They wouldn't even pronounce it. So that you understand, when you're reading the Word of God, the Word of God doesn't ever, hardly ever mean the one true God. That's why you have to study. But the next principle I want to share with you is that Job is the oldest book of the Bible. Now, if you didn't know that, then that's a revelation to you now. So a long time ago, I used to think about this and wonder, well, if it's the oldest book in the Bible, why isn't it the first book? That would seem logical to me. So I pondered on this for years, and finally, not too long ago, the Holy Ghost just showed me what Job was all about. Job is the introduction to the Bible and how to read it. You read Job first. It introduces you to the concepts on how the rest of the word is going to unfold. So, it introduces us to the multidimensional warfare that is constantly going on from the throne down through all the principalities onto the earth. It tells us clearly right in the first chapter of Job how the enemy operates, tells us how who the enemy is, and how he attacks humans. It shows us his predator nature as the destroyers and their desire to wipe out the human race if only God would let them. Now, since, of course, Job, the order of the principalities have changed after the victory of the cross, but the enemy's MO has not changed. He still operates the same way. But the real sons of God have authority over him. If only they would wake up and be seated in heavenly places that we are heir to. Ephesians 2:6. He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Illegitimate, unredeemable sons is what is being talked about in Job when it talks about in Job 1:6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. You'll notice that Satan was among them, so how could they be the real sons of God if Satan was with them? It was the sons of Satan who were coming to present themselves. And the word sons of God means seed of concubine. Sons of unrighteous men, or sons of angels, of God for angels. Okay, and so it also means false god. Okay, the meaning of Satan is a superhuman adversary, one who withstands. And so in this setting, in Job, and also in Genesis, it's talking about the sons of Satan. It's talking about sons of concubines. It's talking about an illegitimate seed. So then we see that Satan and these sons of a false god came before the Lord, the real God, with their father Satan. We would say that the seed of Hagar is what we would compare this to. But suffice it to say that the seed of Satan is never legal. It is never the firstborn. It is always the concubine. Job 1:7, and the Lord said to Satan, "Whence comest thou?" And Satan answered, said he was going to and fro on the earth, walking up and down. So the cross reference to that is 1 Peter 5:8. B be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So right there in the introduction in Job, it tells you the predator nature of the enemy and what he is constantly doing, constantly seeking some kind of prey to destroy in the earth and come against the legitimate sons of God. So as you read, you see the sons of God were the seed of Satan, the illegitimate sons. Hagar becomes the example as to their illegitimate claim to anything. And in Job, we also find Job 4:18 that Job says himself, "Behold, he put no trust in his servants and his angels. He charged with folly," meaning error. They were constantly in error, these fallen sons. The redeemed sons of God, the real sons of God who become forward in the New Testament, are the sons of Abraham, the firstborn legitimate son of Isaac, who we are all then part of. We are part of the seed of Abraham through the firstborn son Isaac. That is Christ's seed, the children of Israel, the sons of Abraham. Galatians 4:6 says, "And because ye are sons of God, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." And Romans 8:16 says, "The Spirit himself testifieth with our spirit that we are the children of God." Therefore, I have expounded on this to lay a foundation for you in the future. I'm sure this subject is going to come up because people are teaching about the Nephilim and the sons of God. And sad to say that some people can't even read the Word of God and figure out that the fallen angels became the aliens called the Nephilim, and they're unredeemable. You can't baptize them. And this is what the teaching was teaching. It was teaching that they were part of our brothers and that the Pope could baptize them. So here's the footnote that I wanted to share with you then, after all that information, a word about the subject. When things are hidden and the time has come for them to be revealed, the Holy Spirit looks for a way to open our understanding in order to reveal a mystery, which is what is going on now. I was reading an account of this woman who was called a prophetess, and she was telling us that the Lord had said to her, was trying to give her a word on the Nephilim. And in this message, she said, well, she had no idea who the Nephilim were, and so she didn't know, you know, what this was talking about, so she didn't know what to say. And as I was reading the message of what she said, the Holy Spirit started to quicken me in my spirit, and from that moment on began to reveal this mystery that I'm still receiving. I was not seeking this mystery, and I certainly knew nothing myself about the Nephilim. But I just obeyed the Holy Ghost and began to study, and what was hidden just began to stand out like 3D on the Word of God. So I'm certainly not the only person the Holy Spirit is revealing this to, but since we are now going where no man has gone before, we are now in the enemy's territory, and he is going to be exposed. And little by little, as the Spirit reveals more and more. Okay, so that's all for now, dear ones. So just remember, when you study, Job is your introduction on how to read the rest of the Word. We'll be saying more also about what the book of Job accomplished in another study. But remember that you have to Stop reading the word God as if you thought you knew what it meant, because you don't, and it distorts the interpretation. The Holy Ghost is our teacher. He's there for a reason. You have to submit everything you think you know to Him and allow Him to resurface your mind and the things you think you know and show you the truth. He's the Spirit of truth. He comes to reveal the truth, and that's what He's doing now in our lives. So that's it for now, dear ones. If you need prayer, go on the website and morning-star.com and leave us a prayer request, and we'll get back with you soon. So God bless, and that's all for now. Talk to you soon.